Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our, I gotta think hard now, Wednesday night. Well, let me think. I think it's Wednesday night. Prayer show, not prayer show, Bible teaching, and it's usually on Wednesday night, it's usually discipleship, which I want to pick up tonight. About discipleship. So, I have a legitimate reason why the show was started late. Not too early before the show. Nancy was going outside to put garbage in the can. And right there in her water bucket, she has a big water bucket. Was a snake stuck its head out when she came out and then came out of the can. So after close examination, we naturally eliminated a rattlesnake. It wasn't a copperhead. And I thought it could perhaps be a water moccasin, but we looked at it real closely there and examined it, and it wasn't a water moccasin. So it didn't pay any attention to us. Nancy said it was looking, we got lizards, little lizards all around the house. She said that's what Maybe that's drawing the snake. But anyways, we watched it and crawled around and had no intention of leaving, folks. So needless to say, she didn't take the garbage out. She left it for me after the show to go and take the garbage and bring it out. So that was my excuse there. Not playing with the snake, but last year I remember telling you the story. This one, the little bit that I know about moccasins, this one last year looked like a moccasin. So Nancy went on her telephone there and Google and snakes in Pennsylvania, in Texas. So I had gotten the machete. And the snake was kind of quiet, just laying there. It was big though. It was big. And I had the machete over its head, and she was asking me questions. Does it have stripes? Does it have this? Does it have that? So at the end, there was some telltale marker that I said, no, it doesn't have that. She goes, okay, it's not a moccasin, but I think it's a water snake. I said, okay, buddy, you got a chance here. Go get yourself some frogs and whatever. But please, why don't you just go down by the creek and leave us alone. So that was like last year. So now that was in the back of the house. Now this one's in the front of the house. And then I had the dogs out one night in the backyard, and I was shining the flashlight there, and all of a sudden this thing lit up. And what it was, and I had never seen a copperhead at night. This was a big copperhead, and the stripe, I'm going to call them stripes on it. When I put the light on it at night, I mean, it was like neon. So I went over and got the machete. Keep a machete right outside the back of the house. I got the machete, and that copperhead lost its head. But yeah, we don't want copperheads around. So that is my experience now. Today, with snakes. And then last year, my youngest granddaughter spotted a coral snake. Again, it's towards the front of my house, not exactly where this snake was. It was a little further down. So I grabbed the machete and went out and I saw it, and it kind of burrowed into the ground. We have, not grass there. We have mulch. And my son happened to be out, so I called him and looked around, couldn't see it because it had burrowed into the mulch. Now the coral snakes are really deadly, but they I don't think anybody dies from them, but if circumstances are wrong and they do bite you, I mean, it could be fatal. So anyways, I stuck the machete in the ground there where all the mulch was. Spent a long time. And my son got the rake and he was raking up the mulch there. We never did see it, never did come back. But yeah, that was last year also, the little coral snake thing. All right. So with that, Father, thank you for today. Lord, got a lot done today. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Lord, I pray that, well, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Lord, I pray your word is rightly divided. It's a blessing. You shall know the truth shall make you free. And Lord, whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So what we're going to look at tonight is strong believers and that repentance. Repentance. So repentance, isn't just a one event, like let's say coming to Christ. That's when we need like kind of maybe the biggest repentance. But it's important because it's an act of the will. We know that, in fact, well, the scriptures, when the Lord is talking about the scriptures in Luke 24:47, he says, and that repentance and remission of sin could be preached in my name throughout all the world, beginning in Jerusalem. So it's attached to the gospel. The Lord attached it to the gospel here, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. So that's how important repentance is. So the definition of repentance is compulsion or guilt, including reformation by implication, reversal of decision. Reversal of decision. Well, you people are following the Lord, whether they the law, the world, whether they know it or not. So they're going to reverse what they're doing. You know, drug addicts, prostitutes, drug dealers, all of that stuff. They make a decision to reverse what they're doing and following the Lord. Reformation, including compulsion of guilt, including reformation. So we come to the Lord with this compulsion of guilt, and it includes reformation. In other words, Lord, there's this guilt in us for sin, and now we want to flee from it, to get away from it, to turn to Christ. That starts a strong foundation for believers. That gets them on the right foot. That's an act of the will. So that is big, folks, big in turning to Christ for salvation. And that takes us, when we look at the parable there of the sower of the seeds, and the seed falls on the hard ground, and the seed falls like in the thorns and the thistles, and it falls in shallow soil, and then some of the seed falls in good, deep, rich soil. Well, I believe that repentance sets the soil in our heart for the seeds to go deep. It's not like on the road, where it has no chance. There's no depth to it. So repentance is an integral part. And if we're sharing the Lord with people, or preaching, repentance should be right up there. It should be right up there bringing people to a decision for Christ. Repentance should be put out in front of them. So Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. All right. Now look a little bit further here into repentance. Luke 5:32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, there really is no righteous. We're all are sinners, all of us. So those that are, I guess in this sense, self-righteous, and they're adamant, and they've been deceived by self-righteous, Jesus didn't come for them. He's come but sinners to repentance. So it's those that know, as it says, they're sinners. That's who he's called to repentance, and then to turn to him for salvation. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When I see that verse there, I think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were self-righteous. They kept the law, or at least believed they kept the law. Now, a lot of them were hypocrites, but they kept the law. And therefore, because they kept the law, they were righteous. Right? Self-righteous. But it's the sinners that knew the implications of the law, like Yom Kippur, Passover. They knew that they needed atonement for their sin. And that's who Jesus came for. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's take a look at Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. So one of the principles, therefore leaving the principles, they're going on to maturity now, of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards Christ. So if you notice, it's one of the foundations. It's right in the beginning when he's laying out the foundations of the faith, not laying again the foundation of repentance. That was the first one. Laying again the foundation of repentance. So a foundation you build upon, and the foundation here of the principles of the doctrines of Christ is repentance. It's like the foundation that you build upon from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, in connection with that, there, the foundation of repentance, there is a repentance when we come to Christ, but also there's repentance needed when maybe God reveals things to us. I can't quite think of something. Let's just say I'll pick something. Maybe we have a tendency to lie, exaggerate, not tell the truth, things like that, twist a little. And we've come to the Lord, and then 6 months after being with the Lord, we're under conviction now of not being truthful. That's the way we were. And coming to the Lord, we still were like that, but here the Lord is sanctifying us, having us live righteous. So when it's revealed and we see it, we agree, you know, Lord, I'm not truthful. I like to slander. Lord, I repent of this. I repent and cleanse me of it. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there, coming to the Lord, there should be that big initial one. But as we go on in time with him, things can be revealed that we didn't realize. Blind spots, that's the word, blind spots. So the Lord, we confess it, and then have the Lord take that out of us. Take that blind spot or whatever it is. And I mentioned slander. Well, slander is a form of lying. And we can go on. We can be going down for with the Lord many years, and all of a sudden something pops up. Wow, Lord, I repent of this. I repent of this attitude. You know, it could be pride. Maybe pride's revealed. Lord, that is pride in me. I repent of it. Lord, cleanse me of it. See, so anytime the Lord shows us like sin, or some bondage of sin in us, we confess it and repent of it. Ask to be cleansed. Ask for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of this. Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Well, there is like the ministry of the Lord there, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. So that sounds just like Luke 24, 47. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. So Israel needs repentance. And that was one of the, that was a teaching of the Lord, was repentance. So to be under the Savior, it's like being under the blood on Passover, to give repentance to Israel, that Israel would repent, that the Jews would repent, and then they would receive the forgiveness of sin. Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." That's the importance of repentance again. Repentance unto life. Of course, repentance by itself isn't enough. That repentance must be also with confessing Christ and the heart's desire to change, to turn from sin, turn from all wicked ways. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance. Notice, repentance unto life, Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So before Jesus Christ here, and at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, God tolerated certain things that man was doing. But now, after Christ, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Notice, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So because of Jesus Christ now and his ministry, which we preach, part of it commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's so strong. Commandeth. It's not an option. It's God's saying commanded. So, but again, when we're sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, that repentance for salvation is very important. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because the repentance is showing the attitude and it's showing the will. It's showing the will that they are convicted of sin. Whoever is, hearing the message is convicted of sin, and they understand the ministry of Jesus Christ. So they're convicted of sin, they repent of it, and they understand the cross, the shed blood, and the resurrection. Now, that's the recipe for strong believers. Repentance and confession. But look at that. That's a powerful scripture. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded, it's a command of God, all men everywhere to repent. Repentance unto life, for to give repentance to Israel, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And look at all the scriptures about repentance in the book of Acts. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the real clear, very clear. Repentance towards God. And notice it's for the Jews and the non-Jews, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Couldn't be any clearer. Repentance, you're away from sin, you're away from God in bondage of sin. Repentance is you turn from it, renounce it, turn to God through Jesus Christ, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance is an integral part of salvation through Jesus Christ. Acts 26:20, which showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works met for repentance, worthy of repentance. So repentance and turn to God. But this verse gives a big, broad coverage about Paul. First unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works met for repentance, worthy for repentance. So another indicator there to repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to Jesus Christ. I can't emphasize it enough. It's so important for our will. That shows we're convicted of sin. That they should repent and turn to God and do the works worthy of repentance. Luke 3:8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. So we bring fruits for the Lord. Not oranges and bananas, character fruits and good works and things like that. And those good works in connection with proclaiming Christ there, good work, therefore fruits worthy of repentance. So the fruit is worthy of that we've repented. It's a change. It's a sign that we repented of sin and turning to Christ. How do you like that? I got a double scripture page in here, right here. This is an extra page. Have me confused. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I'll give you a good example of this. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. So someone is caught in a crime and it was really wrong. This is wrong what I did. This is terrible. And God forgive me. I for whatever reason, I got into this sin. So that's, worketh repentance through salvation, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So the same situation of the war of a worldly attitude is a great sorrow. You were caught in the act, a great sorrow. So one is realizing sin before God and it's disgraced and it's, you need forgiveness. The other one is, could appear the same, upset, crying, let's say, but it's because being caught and facing jail time and things like that. So one sorrow hits the nail on the head towards God, and it's a good repentance. The other one is of the world, and they're thinking of how can I escape this? How can I get out from this? You know, I don't want to go to jail. I've been caught, you know. So that's just an example of worldly-like repentance. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Yeah. No repentance, no consciousness of being wrong, of what was done was evil, and that, you know, no. The other one is great sorrow you've been caught. but not that what you did was wrong. Second Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's God's desire, now that Christ went to the cross for us and paid the penalty for sin and shed his blood and he rose from the dead, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the gospel is a big tent, folks. Anyone that's willing to repent and confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior who died on the cross and shed his blood for the penalty for sin, and then bodily rose the third day, heaven is open. Heaven is open for anyone that will repent and then follow the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he rose. He rose from the grave. So anyone that's willing to do that, God will accept, no matter what their background was. So you could see from these scriptures that repentance is very important, especially in the book of Acts. There must have been about six nice scriptures about the book of Acts. Yeah. The book of Acts tells us what the apostles were doing. And they were preaching repentance and salvation. All right. Now we'll look at the resurrection power. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. So the apostles were preaching of the resurrection from the dead. And it says great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think that's something we should keep in mind also. That's one of the major doctrines of the church here, that the Lord was resurrected in great power. And then it's interesting here, going from Acts 4:33 to Romans 10:9-10, because Romans 10:9-10 seems to be a little out of place to us in general here. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when we look at this verse, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, we normally think that what the focus should be on is his death, and shed blood and paying the penalty for sin and our forgiveness from sin, which of course is the first part of the gospel. Now, when I look at this and, I want to make sure that I'm in order, because it almost seems like something's wrong. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The emphasis here is believing that he was raised from the dead. Thou shalt be healed. Well, that's the part, the end of the gospel of Jesus. The first is he died for our sins, and the end says he was raised from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very important. So important that it talks, believing that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, when we went through 1 John, there were some scriptures like that also. If you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. it shows you, shows us here, that how important the believing in the resurrection is also. Now, it seems hard or odd. How could you preach the resurrection without his death? That he shed his blood and died on the cross for the penalty of our sins. But we know from like Acts 4:33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10:9. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, resurrection, thou shalt be saved. And I don't know if I would preach this without him dying on the cross. But the way I look at it, there's great power in preaching that the Lord was raised from the dead. Great power. So put it together. Just put the first part. He died. He shed his blood and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. With he was raised from the dead. Because that's the gospel. And I like to emphasize that. If that's the gospel, he died for our sins and he was raised from the dead. And when we preach that resurrection, and connect it with the resurrection power in us, great things happen. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So there's why the resurrection should be mentioned, why it should be taught, why it should be preached. Because there's great, that resurrection power is to be flowing through us. It's not just a doctrine. It's a very important doctrine. But it's not just a doctrine. It's a living reality. The power of his resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope. Now that lively hope is a living hope. That's the blessed hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a living hope. In fact, that really goes really well with Titus 2:13. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, a living hope. See, we have to have the doctrine. We have to have the doctrine of Jesus' resurrection. And that's fine. That's needed. But it's beyond that. It's a living hope. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. So yes, the doctrine is important. We have to have the doctrine, but this is beyond it. It's a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So lively there, I have a little definition. It's live, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. So this isn't just a hope. This is a blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope. Active. It's live. It's endless in the kingdom of God. That hope is there's no end to it in the kingdom. And then it's found in Hebrews 10:19 and Titus 2:13. So to be a real disciple of the Lord, we have to be anchored. We have to be deep in the blessed hope, deep in the living, because that living hope is what keeps us focused on Christ coming for us and the joy that comes with it. No matter what we engage in this world, with that living hope in us, we can endure it. Keeps us full of joy. Keeps us from being worldly. Colossians 3:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were raised with him, through the faith of the operation of God. It's God doing it. And it's believing that God did it, who had raised him up from the dead. So as Christ was raised from the dead, and he's raised up in tremendous power, resurrection power. We have to believe we're also risen with him. Again, what I'm emphasizing, not through doctrine, but through real spiritual power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That power is the resurrection power. It blends together, folks. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us. That power of the Holy Spirit operating in us is because Jesus was raised from the dead. It's the resurrection power flowing through us. So the gospel is, look at that only. Not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. That power is the resurrection power of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Power, so that when we see power there, that's always the resurrection power, folks. There is no power outside of that. And with that power comes love and a sound mind. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. The power of his might. So I think we covered enough tonight. And yeah, I think we covered enough. So let me go back over here. And okay, let's open this up for any prayer. If you're watching, please, you can call in 717-409-5553. You can also come in through the website. It's up there on the screen. And of course, you need a microphone. Okay, so we've got Paula Jean lined up here. Hey, Paula Jean,
Okay.
any questions or comments?
No questions. I think this was very well arranged and so important. I am very grateful to have arrived and seen that our sister's husband, Henry, found out that he has no more stone and that the pain that they thought was another stone was apparently due to the process of investigating earlier, and that it was, I guess, not unusual for there to be some residue discomfort from a scope that was used.
Oh, okay.
And I pray, what I'm praying for is that the thing that seems to be happening, because it happened with my brother, and I've had it happen to me too, but I just tend to deal with it. But what I've noticed is that things like after a fact impacts that may be experienced often are not explained to people, so they think they're having some other traumatic experience, when all they need to do is massage, or all they need to do is something else, if you experience this, it's like the common sense rule that Donald Trump is pursuing getting established and guiding and taking care of things. I pray the doctors all of a sudden, by the hand of our Lord, wake up to the importance. I mean, it takes much less time to give the information out in the beginning, in written form, so people can confer to it after they've had procedures done and not have to bother all the nurses and things if these are results that happen frequently, actually. And then people don't have to go through frustration because they're not being responded to quickly when they think they should be. And just that there be more compassion and less number counting and having to meet the quota of how many minutes a day you can spend on something. I pray that, Father God, you help not only our nation, but other nations that may have the same problem, that wisdom, your wisdom comes through to the medical teams, the staff, the organizations, that will bring your type of order, the order that includes compassion, not hardness of heart, and that it actually becomes more efficient than those who are trying to rule with a steel hand without the wisdom. So that all people will be honored and not reacting to the dishonor that they have been given or disrespect they've been given, because that is what brings the reactions, the fear, the anger that doesn't have to exist when you have equipped us with compassion and common sense and your guidance. So I pray for more of that clear guidance, even with the people who haven't asked for it, for the sake of your children and for your glory, that this world is changing because people are waking up and becoming made brand new because of your love and offer of forgiveness when people are willing to repent and look to Jesus. May your word go out, continue to go out, and be multiplied through this ministry, the way that you're doing it, in places where Bibles would be taken away, but sometimes brochures are allowed. And we just give thanks for all the work that you're doing in this realm, because everyone that gives their life to you is available to you for wisdom, for compassion, to be a loving person and a loved person. And I just, my heart went out for Henry when this, what looked like a repeat without any understanding. Now that they have the understanding, and I give you praise for that, Father. But it got me thinking, well, if we start functioning with your help coming to people who are not yet knowing that they have to seek it, and then having them discover what it was they were missing, and they repent and gravitate to you through your son. I just would love to see this. Oh, the great move of the Holy Spirit, of course, is what we're calling on you for. And we're waiting, but it's like, boy, the impatience does come up, and it gives me again greater respect for how patient you've been with us. And thank you. And that's basically everything that you teach, Chaplain John, helps for us to know more about who Father God is, who Jesus is, how the Holy Spirit helps us and is there too. And I just thank you so much for the work that you put into really finding out the details, the inside scoop, to bring the greater understanding. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Oh, Sister Karen, you're up now. Any questions or comments about the Word of God here that we're looking at?
No, I don't have any questions, and I am just happy to know that we, when we repent of our sins and stuff, and we can come to God and ask for salvation and stuff. But we do have to repent, and we just have to just not say the words, I repent, please forgive me. We have to really mean it and it be in depth and
Right,
stuff, and
right,
so that other people know what we're doing and
right,
stuff.
right.
And that really makes me happy knowing that I was able to repent of all of, my sins and stuff, and I know I'm going to go to heaven when I leave this world and stuff. And that to me is just a wonderful feeling. And I'm not happy that I'm stuck here in the bed like this, but everything for a reason and stuff. And I can talk to people right here about a repentance. It is so important.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Thank you. Very nice.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, I'm sorry, but I do like how you get all those verses up there and stuff. It's almost it tries to confuse me, but not so much anymore.
Ah. Okay. Well, Sister Kathy, any questions or comments?
Well, I had a couple of questions, but I did not have a piece of paper and pencil, which I will the next time, because you just think you can remember it, but it's not. But it was very, very good, and I'm excited about the knowledge. Thank you.
Yeah. You see, we can't leave anything out of like the gospel. Now, we know repentance isn't Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was raised from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. But repentance is put in there to lead into the gospel. Repentance is like the soil. It's creating the soil for the seed of the Word of God. So that's why it's there. I mean, you can't just, I've had people actually say to me that repentance is works.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Wow.
immediately I go to Luke 24, 47, and that really shuts them up. But I mean, yeah. Okay, anything else, Sister Kathy?
No, it's just well, I would like to say that with Sharon talking about that she can just minister to people. We had the service today, and Dorothy and I were doing a prayer drive, and she had let us know about the fires that were started in Jerusalem and Israel. And so I called her to see what details she had and asked her if she wanted to pray. And I'm telling you, she took care of some business right here in Bullock County, and it was wonderful. So it really, really ministered to both Dorothy and myself and all of us through the airwaves. So it's just very, very special.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I remember this morning you were telling it. How long did the event last?
Well, it's going to be 30 hours, but they do it from 8:30 to 8. But then tomorrow will be National Day of Prayer with 1 hour in between, so they'll have to make up, a little extra with that. But they read the whole entire Bible, old and new.
Okay. Right. And then we have Sister Rita. Sister Kathy, excuse me. Are there any other counties doing it or just yours?
I like to think it's just ours, but I pray and hope there are some others. But I will check and see. I'll ask Renee tomorrow. But they actually work on it like all year. They're going about saying we're reading on the courthouse square, and if your church wants to sign up to take, you know, part of the reading. And I did think about when the book at the World's Fair was, you know, transcribed with human beings taking a scripture. I liken it to that.
Okay. All right. And then we have Sister Rita.
And hello, Chaplain John. Hello. I really don't have a comment or anything, but the lesson was good, and I was blessed by it. So thank you very much.
Okay. All right. That's very nice to hear. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes, I want to say I love this. I absolutely love this teaching. Some years ago, our pastor was teaching, and he would teach on those passages, but you added some additional information, and I'm going to actually go back and look at the teaching again with all the scriptures, because I have never, other than our pastor some years ago, I never heard anybody preach on those scriptures, never. And in fact, we have been in churches where they say you don't have to repent to be saved.
Repentance. Why do
I hate that.
Why do that?
I think it's Calvinism. I think it's coming out of Calvinism, even if they're maybe not Calvinistic. But to say that repentance is not important, and I know I used to, when I first heard that teaching, which is basically what you were teaching, I started crying. I'm sitting in the front row and I'm crying because I thought repentance is a privilege that Christ paid for.
Yes.
And that pastor used to teach that repentance is not beating yourself up. It's trying to become more and more like Christ. It's your road, he would put it.
Your
road to become more like Christ.
Right, exactly.
And it's like the highway to holiness. That's what he was talking about. And
Wait.
Yeah.
That's preaching material. The highway to hell and the highway to holiness. I like that.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know, I would share that with people, and some of the people, they were really happy. But one of the things that I really loved about what he didn't say this directly, but it was in there, was about Christ dying so that you could repent and receive forgiveness. And he didn't say it directly like that, but it was like that, because I didn't make that one up. But I would always cry. I would cry when he would bring up those scriptures again, because I thought, this is such a privilege. And who has those privileges? Who has them?
Yes. And it's really sad, though. Well, you don't need repentance to believe in Christ. How was that structured? You don't need repentance for what?
I've heard them say, there's a pastor that we listen to sometimes, and he's very good, but he just says, all you need to do is believe. But that isn't what the scriptures say.
Right. Because you're not setting the soil right for believing.
I agree. That's a very good description of it.
Yes. You're cultivating, and repentance sets the soil cultivated for the seed.
That's very good. I like that. I like that a lot. That's very good. And so those, you know, that teaching, he had the whole teaching where he would go through that scripture where it was repentance from dead works, faith towards God. And I can't remember the others right now, but he would show you, it says repentance from dead works. 1, 2, faith towards God. So he's saying, you know, it's following a certain structure, and you have to follow what the scripture says.
Right. I mean, Luke 24, 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.
Yeah, wow. Amen.
I love this teaching.
I hope you're going to teach this someplace else.
Yeah. Well, you see, this course is what? Discipleship.
Right.
And repentance is discipleship.
Absolutely.
So
how are you going to grow?
Yeah, repentance, it just doesn't happen coming to Christ, but things like I was giving you examples. You know? We can have big blind spots in us of pride, and all of a sudden the Lord shows us the pride and, oh, Lord, that's terrible. I repent, Lord. I repent. Cleanse me of it. Yes. Cleanse me of it, Lord. Yes. I repent. So we can be with the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Lord.
That is growing. And I know, I'm thrilled that you're teaching this because honestly, I don't think I've heard anybody but our pastor and now you. I've never heard anybody actually teach it the way that you did, where it's connected.
It's very interesting. As you're mentioning this, this is coming to my mind. There was a pastor I really liked, and it was like the first church that I went to after coming to the Lord. It was in Long Island, New York. It was called the Patchogue Baptist. And Pastor Linwood was a good man. And he preached the gospel. However, what used to drive me crazy was at the end, when he gave a gospel message, he'd say, okay, all heads bowed. Nope, I don't want anyone looking up. I don't want to embarrass anyone. And then I don't remember him talking about repentance. I can't tell you whether he did or didn't, because this is so many years back. But it used to be like, how can you say you don't want to be embarrassed receiving Christ? You know, what kind of a believer are you creating? You know, it should be like Christ.
Let's keep this secret.
Yeah. And that's connected with, I see that connected with no repentance. You know, I don't know if he did or didn't preach repentance, but I know that he'd say all heads bowed, eyes closed, and now I'm going to lead in a prayer to receive Christ. I don't want anyone embarrassed here. No one embarrassed. So I'd look around. I wouldn't do it.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but he was a good man, and the Lord, he had great, he was just a good man, but this one work that he had.
I think sometimes, John, they learn that from somebody else and it just continues.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think it through. It's
agree.
Like a habit.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And then it becomes a doctrine of man.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just want to say you just made me exceedingly happy.
Okay. Now, no, but the big test is that I make Randy happy. Come on now, let's hear.
He didn't make any comments. He just walked in the other room, but he didn't make any comments. But we were talking about the fact that we love that teaching from our pastor about that it was repentance from dead works, faith towards God. And I can't remember the third one. But, yeah, he liked it too.
Okay. All right. Well, now we've got about a half hour left. So we had the word, then we had discussions about the word. So now will anybody want some music here? We can play probably about five or so songs. We'll call it a night. And you're up first, Gigi.
Yes, I sent
wait,
the
wait,
song.
Wait. Did I miss someone? Yeah. Did I miss someone last night? Did I miss Sister Rita?
Could have been Rita. Yeah. John, I'm sorry, but there's something outside that we need to go out and take care of before it gets completely dark.
Okay.
So we're going to hang up, but I just wanted you to know, okay?
All right.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Okay. Let me see. Get Rita. Rita. There we go. There she is. I think I missed you last night with a song, didn't I?
No. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I said, you didn't exactly miss me. I said, I could wait. You owe me a song.
Right.
And so, okay, but yeah, you owe me a song.
Okay, what song?
Okay. Guy Penrod, You Never Let Go.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high. See a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh, no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, come on, still I praise you, still I will praise you.
Well, Rita, you missed one yesterday, so we're going to make up for it now.
Okay. If I knew that, let me look here real quick on my list of songs. Okay, we'll go with Ernie Haas and Sinner Saved by Grace.
If you could go with me back to where I started from, and I know that you would see the miracle of love that took me in a sweet embrace and made today a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a
Okay. I like it. Now we have, let me get back over here. We have Sister Kathy.
Yeah, I want to hear a banjo song. We hadn't heard one in so long, and I'm going to say Alan Jackson and Are You Washed in the Blood?
Jackson's a, did you say banjo?
Yeah.
I don't
Something like that. All that musical stuff. He's got a bunch of different musical instruments
okay.
in that.
All right, let me go.
Unless it's Power in the Blood. But I think it's Are You Washed, and I know it's Are You Washed in the Blood.
How about a medley of with I'll Fly Away?
Is it going to be instrumental or is it music?
Oh, no, it's music. It's Alan, Alan Jackson. Mean, Are You Washed in the well, Blood and I'll Fly Away?
Well, I don't think we can go wrong with that, but if not, I'll declare a retake. So thank you.
Okay.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood.
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood.
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away. If when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Awful it. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Yeah, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. If when I die, hallelujah, by and by,
Sister Kathy, were you happy with that?
Well, it'll do, but I will. That wasn't the actual one. I think it was just on a record you had, and it wasn't like a YouTube thing. but I'm not sure. But anyway, it was the song I requested, so thank you.
Oh, no. I give guarantees here.
Well, since it's 10:44 and there's three more songs up for somebody, I'll like one of those. And I enjoyed it, but it wasn't a banjo or the ones like the dulcimer or whatever.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
That's very good. Thank you.
All right. Now, Sister Sharon, I think I've got to cut her loose here. Yes, I do. Sister Sharon.
Yes. Don Moen and Our Father. And there's a Dead Man, too, and he might like that song he likes. I can't think of it. I had it on my mind.
10,000.
Yeah, 10,000 Reasons, yeah.
All right. Now, what song was it with Don Moen?
Our Father.
And remove anything that stands.
and we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. Oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today. Yes, we do. Hear us as we pray.
Sing it, our Father.
Last but not least, we have Sister Rita.
No, it does, man.
Paula Jean.
Yes. Don Moen, shout to the Lord.
Paula Jean, can I tomorrow?
You want to pull a Rita on me?
Yeah, because of our cost here. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Here we go.
I hope you've got one under 5 minutes, because I know there's one that's under 5 minutes.
Yes, it is.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. For my heart to find some blessing.
when my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
I was asking for Shout to the Lord.
All right. Well,
but we'll, that was wrong.
We'll get that tomorrow night.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, you couldn't find it probably.
No, I didn't look for it.
Oh, okay. You had this available.
So almost everything's okay. Available here. All right. Well, God bless everybody. And we'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow morning. And we had a good yes. night. I'm glad that people were happy in the Word. So be safe. Don't go outside. I don't know what. But just God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah. And don't go fighting that snake.
Yeah, I get my machete. All right. All right.
Yeah,
remember, looking for that blessed Amen. Hope and glorious appearing. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim,
send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Of sin
and bring the yeah.